Okay, this morning, let's open with a word of prayer. God, I thank you so much for being a God that listens and hears us. As we come to you, Lord, this morning in prayer, I just pray that you would drown out any of the other noise, anything else that is vying for our attention, Lord. I pray that you would give us a laser-like focus, so that we could hear what it is that you have to say, glean from it, and apply it as you've taught us so many times before. Father, as always, I thank you for Jesus, the sacrifice that he made on the cross, that he willingly died for our sins. Lord, I lift this prayer up in his precious name now. Amen. Okay, so as I said before, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1 today. Last week we finished up Joshua. And those of you that were with us for the Joshua series, that was fun. You know, we didn't hit them all. I told you, if we hit everything in Joshua, it was going to be, we'd be there for a year, because that's just it's a good, long book. But I hope you were able to see what the Israelites, their journey. I hope you were able to see what their journey was like and kind of look at your life and say, you know, I might be a little bit like an Israelite every once in a while. And that's okay, because those are God's chosen people. As we are too, right? So, as always, you know, we did Old Testament, so we're going to bounce to the New Testament. We're going to look at one of my favorite apostles, Peter. And it wasn't always his name. It was Simon. Sometimes he's referred to as Cephas. It's Peter, same guy. He was the one in the boat, right? He's a fisherman. He's a commoner. I love him because I can relate to him. And I hope after we look at this a little bit, you can relate to him too. What we're going to do is we're going to read 1 through 12 together, and then I like to go back and do some exposition of the scriptures there. So let's just read together 1 through 12. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into those things. So there's a whole lot just in this very beginning. And I'm going to teach you just a little bit, and then I'll preach to you a little bit more. Okay, so Peter, when he starts this off, you see he says, Peter, comma, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Like they haven't heard of Peter, right? Who hasn't by this time at least heard a little bit about Peter? But when he's writing this down, he puts Peter, and he wants you, and he does this, and other authors do it. That's establishing an authority. You know, he's saying, okay, listen, I was an apostle of Jesus. And that's what authority I'm writing this in. You'll see Paul. Paul does it often. You know, he'll say, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. Or I, Paul, you know, whatever. Another chosen apostle of Christ. But Peter says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, he says, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. What I want you to learn from this, and just pay attention when you read the beginnings of books, especially in the New Testament, when they're addressed to someone or to a group of people, that'll let you know about what you're reading. See, this is a circular. This wasn't to one person. This was to many people, a people group. So, picture it now. We come to our church, someone would stand up and read it, y'all get it, and we'd pass it on to the next group of people so that it could make its way around. It's just neat that this letter made it into the Bible. And what are we to learn from that? And I always think about that. I feel like I'm eavesdropping on people as they were writing to one another. You know, and I want to know, what's Peter have to say? So he says to the people, you know, you have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. So he establishes his authority, he establishes who he's writing to, and he sends them grace and peace. And foreknowledge from God. Okay, so now let's go on. Look at number 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does yours have an exclamation point? Okay, so let's read it like that. Praise be to God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every morning, or every Sunday morning, we come here and we stand in our chairs, and there's some people up here, they play some musical instruments and they sing. And I just wonder, you know, there's an exclamation point there. In your praise, is there an exclamation point? You know, do we stand there and just kind of go through the motions and sing the song? That's not what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, praise God. Praise be to God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because in His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. I heard a half an amen just now. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. I mean, that should just be the sermon. And if you look at your bulletin, the sermon is entitled Living Hope. And I want to talk about, I just want to break this down a little bit, because a whole lot of the sermon is going to come from this one scripture. Our Father, in His wisdom and in His great mercy, has given us new birth into a living hope. And so, you know, when I look at it and say new birth, immediately my mind goes to Nicodemus when he comes to Jesus and he says, what do you mean? So we're going to look at that. Put your finger in 1 Peter. Go to the left to John chapter 3. We won't be there very long. John chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 3 real quick. This is, just to give you just a little bit of hint of background, this is Jesus, and He's speaking to Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, a part of the Sanhedrin. So he was very, very well respected. He was up there as far as the hierarchy is concerned. And Jesus replied to a question that was asked, and He says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And let's look at 4. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter the womb a second time into his mother womb to be born. So what's it mean for us? You can go back to 1 Peter. What's it mean for us to be born again? What's that look like? You know, if you were to tell someone, I'm a born again Christian, what does that mean? What are you describing? So I did a little bit of research, and I'll help you out. Born again, it literally means born from above. Born from above. So you already had a physical birth. And then, at some point, through God's mercy, you had a rebirth. And if you haven't had a rebirth, I hope you leave here today with one. Because Guys, this, we have a living hope. I don't understand how you can have or find hope in the world that we live in without this rebirth, without knowing there is something else to happen afterwards. See, it says we have this new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you go on, it says, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for you. I had at least three conversations last week with someone about suicide. They were either suicidal or someone they knew was suicidal, or they had experienced suicide in their family. Okay, and that was in 1 week, and I've had another conversation in 1 week, and so as I look at this, I'm like, where's the hope? At some point, they went through life and decided they didn't have hope anymore. And that scares me because some of them were Christians. How can we experience this new birth, this mercy, and know that there is this inheritance and not have this hope? And Peter's encouraging you. Think about the living hope that we have. I'm just going to give you a couple quick statistics. 30,000 Americans commit suicide every year. And that statistic is from 2010, so that's the newest one I could find. And the demographics, the highest percent is from 65 and older. And then it skips a large chunk of generation and goes to those that are 12 to 16 years old. How can you get to a point as a 12-year-old to decide there's not hope in this world? I feel like a failure when I hear about it. I feel like I didn't get Jesus' message out to enough people. I didn't tell enough people, because obviously we have this living hope. It hurts my feelings to know that there's people in our community feeling like they don't have hope. Where we come and we sit here every Sunday morning, we know we have a living hope because we believe. We cling to this inheritance. He says it'll never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation. Now, when you read that, and I like to tell people about it, you know, you're shielded by God's power. That does not mean you're shielded from bad stuff happening. And that's how people like to read it. You know, oh, I have this bubble. I'm in my Jesus bubble. Nothing's going to happen to me. I like to point them to the book of Job. I just finished reading Job, y'all. That's crazy. Job. And if you don't know much about Job, I'll paraphrase for you. He lost a lot, but he never did sin. He never did curse God because of it. And it's not easy to find living hope in a bad situation, is it? It's easy for a guy to get up on a stage and say, oh, you have living hope. Remember, there's Jesus. But as you're going through it, it's tough. And you look and you're like, where's my shield? God says he shields me with his power until the coming of the salvation. Can I just tell you that that's what he's shielding you from? It's his own power? Because if we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be here. It just wouldn't be. That verse goes on to say, that's to be revealed in the last times. So you are being shielded by God from his power until the last times. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you've had to suffer griefs and all kinds of trials. Now, when you're going through a grief and you're going through a trial, does it feel like a little while? Even if it was for 3 months. If you had to endure something for 90 days that was grief and a trial, and it really hurts you, does that feel like a little while? It really is, though. It's just a little while. And that's what he says, you know, rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold. He says your faith is worth more than gold. And he goes on to describe that gold will perish even though it's refined by fire. but your faith may be proved genuine. It may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Isn't it really, really easy to be faithful when everything's kind of going your way and you like what's happening in your life? You know, things are all right. You know, everybody's happy. Kids are fed. You know, crops are growing. Really easy for that. Until something happens and then, boom, your life's turned upside down. That, my friends, is when your faith will be tried and refined and grown. And it's going to happen to each and every one of us. But just know, cling to this, there is a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is a living hope. Let's look at 8. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Coming from a Gnostic or agnostic background, I can tell you this is tough. I was one of those people that had a ton of questions. You guys know I was raised Catholic, and I would go to my teachers and my priests, and I would say, why? Why this? Or where is Jesus? Why can't I see Him? Why can't I feel Him? Why can't I hear Him? And they would tell me, you know, He's there. Trust that He's there. Well, that, for my mind at that time, it just wasn't good enough. I was probably one of those people that had to ask for signs and wonders, and now I realize that was wicked. But you know, there's people, have you ever met anyone like that? Just show me Jesus and I'll believe. Right? And so I always ask people, like, you turn on a light switch, you believe the light's going to come on, right? As long as you paid your electricity bill, it's going to come on. But you can't see the electricity flowing through the walls. You can't see it going into the switch. You see wires, but you still don't really see the electricity. But you know it's there. That's the same thing with Jesus and God. We know He's there, even if you can't see Him. And if you look hard enough, you'll see Him. Go outside. Look around. You all know I'm amazed by corn, right? If you don't know, let me tell you. I'll tell myself. A little bitty kernel of corn. You put it in the ground. Wait a few months. It's a great big green stalk, and it's got an ear of corn on it. How did one little ear? You tell me that wasn't intelligent design. We'll have a good argument with one another. All right? If you tell me the entire human body works the way that it works because of a happenstance, we'll have a nice debate with one another. We'll leave hugging, hopefully. But I want you to see that just because you can't see Him, know that He is there. And that's what Peter tells these people. He praises them. He said, good job. Because you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you don't see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of our souls. Christ, even He says in the Gospels, you know, you believe because you've seen. Think about the faith it takes to not. And I know it. I've said it before, but if you look, you'll see Christ moving in your life. You'll see God's hand moving. I call them God winks. When God just kind of does something, and you know it had to be from Him. It had to. There's no other explainable reason. It just had to be from Him. If you pay attention, He's there. And He's yearning for you. He wants you. Let's look at 10. It says, concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care. The prophets knew that Jesus was coming and knew that there was going to be a salvational grace. And so they're looking for it. They were seeking it out. It says intently. They wanted to be a part of it because they were already telling people about God and about the Holy Spirit and what the works are going to be done. And there's many, many prophets that spoke of the Messiah who was to come. And they were seeking for Him. And I think that got lost. I think in our culture that got lost, our search for Christ. Cindy talked to you guys this morning about being intentional about going into your room and searching Him in prayer. And just trying to be with Him. Are we seeking Him like the prophets did? Or are we kind of jaded because we know He came, He resurrected, we believe that, we accept that, and we know He's going to come again. But are you looking for it? Are you, every day, are you trying to seek Him and intently find Jesus in each and every one of us? Number 11, it says, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but You. There it is. They weren't serving themselves. It was revealed to them they weren't serving themselves, but You. When they spoke of the things that they have now been told You by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. He's speaking of the prophets. The prophets knew that the Messiah was coming, and it was revealed to them that they were to tell you about the Messiah for your benefit. They weren't serving themselves. If you've read through many of the prophets, they didn't want to be there. And I can't blame them. A lot of them had to go tell a king he was wrong. It's dangerous. But they did because they were serving others. And that's what it kind of means to live out your Christian faith. It means you cling to this living hope that we have, and we use that to go and serve others. Last week, we talked about serving as well, and I just found it neat because I prayed and God kind of showed me 1 Peter. I didn't intentionally jump from one serving to another serving, but you can't deny that it's there. So, how are we using our living hope to serve others? I told you, there's at least two people in this community who have at least last week contemplated ending their lives. And they had a rather detailed plan. So, how do we serve those people? And I would tell you there's a couple of ways to serve them. One is to be honest with them. Let them know that there is something worth living for. Let them know that their circumstances, no matter how bad they are, is just a short period of time. Even if that lasts for years, that's still relatively a short period of time. Now, it feels like forever for us, but if they can make it through the next minute, that didn't take too long, did it? Then you build from that minute to 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 60 minutes to 60 days, right? Let them know. Let people know why you have the hope that you have in the Lord. Because that's not what Satan wants you to do. Satan wants you to be distracted from anything other than serving yourself. Because when you serve yourself and you do what you want to do, when you want to do it, why you want to do it, it doesn't glorify anyone but you. So through that glorification, the people without hope only see, well, I have to do this by myself. I can't, no one else can help me, I have to do it. And I would tell you that weight and that pressure literally kills someone every day. It's tough, guys. And so this morning, we're getting close to the invitation. This morning, do you have hope? Do you have the living hope in the resurrected Father? In the resurrected Son? Jesus Christ? The grace and the mercy that He's extended to us? Do we have that living hope? And if so, what are you going to do with it? You gonna share it with people? And it's so easy to say that, because I don't mind talking to anyone about anything. I don't know, since my transformation, I tell you what, I wish you knew me before, but God has really transformed me. But people just talk to me now, even if they don't know what I do for a living. I love it when people don't know what I do for a living. But they just talk to me. And it always, God always brings it up. I was in a line waiting to get on a roller coaster Friday and was able to overhear some people talking and briefly was able to kind of share the gospel with them. I have no idea what God did with that, but there was a seed planted. I mean, just any time in your life, if there's someone there, it's socially unacceptable, so just let me preface that. Be like a kid. My kids love to ask people, hey, you know Jesus? You don't have to take that approach if you don't want, but just have that childlike faith. It's okay. What's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to get mad at you because you tried to save their lives, literally tried to save their life? Okay. Shrug it off. Shake the dust off. Go to another city. What I'm saying is, don't just have this living hope and use it for yourself. Share it with your family. Share it with your community. Share it with people you work with. Share it with people you go to school with. Share it with whoever it is. And don't let them just... Y'all ever get treated different when they find out you're a Christian? Don't let them lip service you. People always, as soon as they know I'm a pastor, they stand up straight, they stop cussing. Being honest. And they start saying things like, praise Jesus. Just, you know, things that they wouldn't normally say or do. And don't let them just tell Christianity is real. Jesus was real. This isn't just a bunch of words that we say that make us feel good. This is real. And we have this real living hope. And this guy, God really came to the world as a baby, grew up, and was sacrificed for our sins. And then he was really resurrected. This all really happened. This isn't just some story that you heard passed down from generation to generation. If it was, it wouldn't have lasted. Because there's been too many generations, and Christianity is still strong, not as strong as we used to be, but it's still strong. So this is real. You have a real, I wish Peter would have said that, you have a real living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And he's holding on to it for you in heaven. And all you have to do is say, I'd like to have that. It seems simple. But that does mean a little sacrifice, doesn't it? And we don't like to sacrifice. If we're completely honest, we don't want to sacrifice our stuff. But if I told you it was worth it in 30, 50, 60 years from now, would you do it? If I came to you with a promise that said, hey, you're going to have everything that you've ever could imagine times 100 or 100,000 as soon as you die, would you take it? I think you would have to be dumb, and I'm probably not the best word, but I'm just going to go with it, not to, right? You just would have to be silly or ignorant to not take that. That's a great offer. You don't have to gamble. That's not even a bet. That's a guarantee. When you die, you have an inheritance. Do you want it? Yes. Why is it so hard for people? I'll tell you why. Because we have an enemy who is very good about getting in our minds and getting in our hearts and distracting us. Because we have this self, or we have this instant gratification, don't we? I get upset if I can't instantly find an answer to a question that I have because I have a smartphone that has Google. And if I don't have Wi-Fi or signal, I'll forget that I wanted to know that information immediately, and it doesn't benefit me in any way, right? But that's instant gratification, and that's just kind of what we live in. We live in that culture, so we're going to have to try to get people to understand your gratification. You might have to wait. You might even have to go through some trials, but it's just for a little while. It's for a little while. Hold on. And through that, when you come out of that, your faith will be refined. Your faith will be bigger than it was when you went through it or before you started. Just hold on. So here's what I want you to take home today. I want you to take home you have a living hope. If you didn't get that, you must have been asleep. There is a living hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's an inheritance in heaven for you. All you have to do is accept that. And then I would give you praise, though even though you've not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you don't see Him now, you believe in Him. And finally, take what you know and serve others with it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, Your hope and Your love. God, we don't deserve any of Your goodness, but still You give it to us. Lord, I pray that You forgive us where we've fallen short of You, where we've decided to serve ourselves other than others. God, I pray that each and every day we're able to take Your word and share it with someone so that we can instill hope in them. It doesn't have to be the worst. We know that these trials are just for a little while. And God, I pray that as we walk alongside those that are going through some troubles or going through some trials, and even if we're going through those ourselves, God, I just pray for endurance and stamina and wisdom and courage and peace. God, there's so much ugliness in this world. I just pray that we can be a light, that we can show Your face, that we can show Your heart to each and every person we come in contact with, so that we will have a reason for our hope. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to have Matt and Les come down front here. We're going to be down here to pray with you. I'll be down here too. To pray with you and to talk to you and to love on you and to share in our joy, to share in God's mercy, to share in His grace, to intercede for you, with you, to share in your joys, to share in your pain, to share in your struggles. Whatever reason that you would need prayer or want prayer, or just to come up front and say hi, because we like to say hi to you. Whatever it is, we just want to make ourselves available for you. So we're going to be up here. Praise Team's going to sing another song, so we'll be here. And they are going to sing, so stand and sing with us if you would.